let's pray.
Don't wait till the battle is over.
Let's pray.
Come on, put your feet.
Let's pray.
Now on the floor and pray.
Let's pray.
This is KAYT-FM, 81 Gina Alexandria, 92.5 Greenwood Shreveport, K223BI, 98.9 Monroe, West Monroe, K255BT, 100.1 Lake Charles, K261EB, and KQJO-FM, 99.3 St. Joseph, Louisiana, Natchez, Mississippi, and online at www.kaytfm.com.
Church.
I'm Reverend Stanley Mathis, senior pastor of the Antioch Missionary Baptist Church, and you're listening to Paradise Ministry. Paradise Ministry is now brought to you by Robinson Mortuary. Robinson Mortuary is a family-serving family. They are located at 1850 Military Highway, Pineville, Louisiana, and their phone number is area code 318-442-7300. Join us now as we enter into a service already in progress as I preach and teach the Word of God. Is God elevating His Word today? He raises the volume by sending a storm into our lives and into a nation or into a people. Pastor, I don't know why this happened to me. Is there a storm coming? And we wonder, why does God allow this? It is out of God's love that He reproves us, as well as protects us from destroying ourselves or destroying others with our disobedience. It seems apparent that the volume has to be raised up in our state and in our nation. Hello, America. If you have heard something happen in your life, or if you have had something happen in your life that shook you to your very core, then you would understand what I'm talking about. If you have never been shaken to your very core, just keep on living. Everything was going well in your life. And then all of a sudden, here come a storm. A storm. A storm like a calm lake that the disciples were on. It was smooth sailing. A calm lake of our life becomes a storm in a raging sea. Why did this happen? Everything was smooth. Everything was fine. And now all of a sudden, my body don't feel the same. I don't feel well. My brothers and sisters, a storm in a raging sea comes all of a sudden. But before it comes, there's some turbulence. A raging sea is when the physician come back with a bad report, or when you are startled in the night by a late telephone call and a voice on the other end says, I'm afraid I have some bad news. I don't know about you, but I've had that call about 3 a.m. telling me how my sister stopped breathing for 15 minutes. And she was taken to Baylor Hospital in Dallas in an ambulance. That's a storm, Antioch. Sister Matthew saw me get up because I couldn't sleep. rushing to Dallas, 5 hours away. That's personal. But I can get even more personal. When I arrived here some 30 years ago, I was told by the plant nurse at Procter & Gamble that my ferritin level was elevated and that I needed to go and see an oncologist, and I didn't even know what an oncologist was until she educated me that an oncologist, she said, was cancer and that there was something wrong with my liver. And I worried I lost 5 pounds in 1 week. That was a storm in my mind. There was a storm in my mind, and it wasn't even in my body. But the word cancer rocked me. God is speaking to somebody this morning whose mind is being rocked by the word cancer. In my personal case, I found out it was a false alarm. But for a while, I was going through a storm, Bruce. A storm. There are times we sometimes ask, where is the Lord Jesus when it's a storm? I don't know about you, but I did. Where are you, Lord? The historical text speaks of the fifth miracle of Jesus, and this miracle would impact the disciples' faith in him. In our text this morning, we discovered Jesus had just finished a long day of preaching and teaching, and there were many who followed him, and the Lord was now exhausted. Don't let's why when you preach, you get tired. Because preaching takes something out of us. Because what God is putting in us is spiritual. And when he places something in us spiritual, we expose, we expand, we thrust it out to you. And when we finish giving out what God has given us, it exhausts us. We are told how this crowd followed Jesus, and Jesus was exhausted. We're also told how Jesus was perceptive. He knew the concept of the crowd. Jesus knew the hearts of the crowd, and he knew that those that followed him and was following his disciple, he knew what was in their heart. See, we may not be able to discern or understand or even interpret what's in a man's heart. But the Lord has a perception. He knows what's in our heart before we even do things. He knows whether it's the right motive, a selfish motive, a personal motive, an authoritative motive. He knows the condition of a man's heart because he is perceptive. And the Lord knew the conditions of the people who followed him. And they wanted to force Jesus to become king and to be a prophet. But Jesus had another role too as well. Jesus, not only is he a prophet, but he is also our priest. Yeah. Which would only be established as he would carry our sin and pay our price at Calvary. Now we know and understand who is our great high priest. You don't need me to pray for you. Because we have a high priest who's already interceding on our behalf. He's been praying on our behalf for over 2,000 years. Talking to the Father when the enemy said, look what they've done. And Jesus stand up and said, I've already prayed for them. And he asked, people are the same today. But we need to understand God's time was not yet. The Lord's time was not yet. And the people were trying to force him into a role, into a position. But there was something Christ had to do. There are things in our life we have to do. We've been anointed and appointed to do certain things at an appointed time, and we can't get around what God has appointed us to do. And when an appointed time comes, he manifests his power because God is speaking prophetically to a people and to a nation. His time was not yet. Now I know why he told Mary, "What do you have to do with me? My time is not yet." But his time would come. What I have discovered is when we try to force God to do something, he disrupts or he stops the things men are trying to do. Today, some countries or some nations are trying to force the return of the Lord by physical violence. Certain denominational religious groups are trying to force his return. They are creating wars and fighting. They're warring against the nation of Israel, trying to force a complete chaotic world to force the Lord to come back. It ain't happening like that. We cannot force God to do anything. Our power doesn't override his sovereign power. So we think we can make things happen by doing things. That don't work. God said, no. You cannot force God to do anything that is not according to his time, his purpose, and his plan. Today, countries are trying to force it by physical violence against the nation of Israel. They attack the nation of Israel. And God will just stand up and retaliate through his people against any nation that comes against him. They are creating wars and fighting against the nation of Israel. And even today, we are putting people in office that we know should not be there. Thinking that this would cause the return of the Lord. How it's being done. My brothers and sisters, what I know is that man will never force the Lord to return. For he said, no man knows the day nor the hour of his return. So Jesus commanded his people, his disciples, to enter a boat and cross over to the other side. And he went to, as he went to pray and be alone. Hold that thought. He told the disciples.